I appreciate everybody being here tonight. I hope the Lord will do a little something for us. And some time ago, I started preaching through 1 John. I want to return there tonight. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 John and chapter number 2. 1 John and chapter number 2. And when you find that place in your Bible, let's all stand together. In reverence to the Word of God, we'll read our text together. I want to begin reading in verse number 7 tonight, 1 John chapter number 2. Amen. The Bible said, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Amen. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of Scripture. And what I've got is mighty, mighty simple tonight, but I want to try to bring it and hope that it'll be an encouragement to the church and to each of our hearts. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful tonight that we can be in the house of God. I'm so grateful that You provided a place for us and a people that's willing to assemble together and to pray, to worship, to preach the Word of God, to give of our finances, Lord, to send the gospel around the world and keep a light burning in our community. I thank You, Lord, for the faithfulness of the people of Island Ford Baptist Church. I thank You for Your divine presence and power and grace and mercy that You've given. And it's my prayer now, Lord, that You would open up the Scriptures to us and open up our hearts to the Scriptures. I pray You'd bless every home that's represented here tonight, every family, every individual. I pray, Lord, for the power of God. I need Your power and Your presence. I need the liberty that can only come from the Holy Spirit of God. So may You descend in great power with mercy in this place tonight, reviving the people of God and regenerating sinners by Your power. Help those that are sick, those that are afflicted. Help those that are in grief and sorrow and troubled heart and trials and temptations. And Father, we'll thank You for what's accomplished because You're worthy of it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You now, and you may be seated. I want to preach tonight on the simple thought of brotherly love. Amen. Brotherly love. There are some Bible scholars that believe that verse number 7 starts a new portion or a new thought in the text here in 1 John chapter number 2. But verses 7 through 11 are closely related to those immediately preceding them. And John is still here continuing to press for a holiness of life upon the people of God. Right. That Bible still says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." And God still intends for His people to be a holy people. In fact, He says, "Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." It's just that simple. And, and I'm persuaded that no man, no woman can really be very holy apart from having brotherly love. The Bible said there, if a man says in the light and hateth his brother, he's in darkness even until now. Amen. And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and he walketh in darkness. Amen. And he knoweth not whither he goeth. And the fact that his eyes have been blinded, and they've been blinded by the prince of this world. And so it's hard to be holy and not love your brethren. In fact, John said again in 1 John, he said, "How can a man love God whom he has not seen if he's not able to love his brother who he has seen?" And so it's an impossibility for you and I to be holy people without loving the brotherhood or without loving our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Now, in verses 3 through 6, the apostle had shown that the keeping of God's commandments and the following of them, of the example that He has left us. The people of God ought to follow the example that Christ has left us. Amen. That is, we ought to do our best to imitate Christ. Amen. We're being conformed to His image. And may I say to you that it was love that brought Him here. It was love for you and I, and if He loved the brethren, then you and I likewise ought to follow that example and love them also. And so we ought to follow that example. Now, Christ is always our example in our Christian living. And the proofs of our genuineness, or the genuineness of our love unto the Father and unto His Son, can be a blessed assurance for our hearts that we are being and abiding in Him. That is, that Christ lives in us. That is one of the best assurances we have in the Bible, that we are the children of God and that Christ abides in us and that we abide in Him if we love the brethren. He said in John 13, "By this shall all men know that you are My disciples, if you love the brethren." Because that you love the brethren, or because that you love your brother. And verse 3, John laid the foundation of keeping God's commandment. By the way, he said here, and I'll mention this again in a minute, that this is an old commandment and that it is a new commandment. So loving your brother is not an option. It is a commandment. I'm amazed at the little sign we still have on our bulletin board out front. If you love Me, He said, keep My commandments. And He said His commandments are not grievous, and one of His commandments is that we love our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Now, I'm going to show you how we ought to love them here in just a few minutes. But He laid the foundation of keeping God's commandments in general. But here, He singles out and dwells upon a more specific commandment, which is considered both an old commandment and a new commandment. From the context, it leaves no doubt in my mind that he is referring here to brotherly love. It is an old commandment simply because it had its origin in the ministry of Christ. Amen. John is simply telling them this is not something new that you've heard. Christ told us, Jesus told us in His ministry, that we are to have love one for another. Amen. That makes it an old commandment. He said it's a new commandment because I'm reiterating and emphasizing everything that He has already said, that we ought to love our brother even as we love ourselves. And so that therefore makes it a new commandment. He said in John 3:23, "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave commandment." You know, he not only says that we ought to believe on Jesus Christ, and I can show you where it said not only believe, but to suffer for Him. But we're not only to believe on Him, but we're also commanded to love our brothers in Christ. And a man that hateth his brother is in darkness. I want to say to you that hatred and animosity are direct opposites of love, and no man can love and hate at the same time, except we love and hate the right things. I can hate sin all I want to hate and still love Jesus all I want to love Him and love the brethren all that I want to love Him, and that's not contrary. But to say I love Jesus but I hate this individual or that individual is unscriptural, and I'm going to tell you it's simply not, a man's not able to do that and be a born again child of Almighty God. Now, he said in 2 John 5, and I'm establishing the fact of a commandment. He said in 2 John 5, "Now, I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another." Amen. I'm not writing anything new. You've heard this. And so have you heard this. But I'm telling you on the authority of the Bible that we're slipping in brotherly love. You realize that one of the characteristics of the last days is that the love of many will wax cold. Now, if your love's going to wax cold, that means you had the love at one time or another. You can't wax cold in something that you never had. And so the love of many is going to wax cold because iniquity doth abound. And that's one of the characteristics of the last days. Now, stay right with me. He used the word. In John 13:34 is the capstone of this commandment. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." And here it is: "As I have loved you, love one another." Now, I'm going to tell you, that's not something to be taken lightly. That's not something we can just brush off and, well, we can consider this and do this if we please, or we don't really have to do it. But Christ said, "I'm giving you a commandment that you love me exactly as I've loved you." Amen. That's not the first time a phrase like that's been mentioned. He said in John 19, he said, "Even as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And so, as He loved you and I, we are to love one another. Now, may I say, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Oh, we live in a generation that knows nothing about love. I've heard young couples get married and say, "Oh, I love you." They don't know a thing about love. Now, I'm going to tell you why they don't. They're lost and without God. And lost people know nothing about real love. You can only understand human love by understanding the love of God and the fact that God loved you and I. That's the only way. Now, a lot of people stay together by grace. I got a haircut today. Can you tell? And the barber said, "Preacher," said, "how long you been married?" I said, "It'll be 41 years in January. Then I stuck my foot in my mouth. He said, "You know, there's not many make it beyond 10 anymore." I said, "Well, it's because they don't love one another." He said, "Well, I had mine for 43 years. And I looked at him and I said, "Has your wife left you?" And he said, "Oh, no." He said, "She passed away a year and a half ago." And I felt about this big. But he said, "I'm still living in the same house that her and I lived in for 38 years and raised a family in. And I had to marvel that there is the one man. He doesn't claim to be saved, and I've witnessed to him. He doesn't claim to have anything. You try to talk to him about the Lord, and he'll just brush it off." But by God's grace, somehow he made it 43 years with his wife. I heard on Fox News the other day on the radio, a man and woman was married for 80 years. Got married. He was 100. She was a 99. They got married when he was 20 and she was 19. And they had never met when they got married. They got married at a vaudeville show just because they said they'd give them a set of dishes and some silverware if they'd do it. And they got it. They said, "We've still got the silverware and we've still got the dishes and we've still got one another." And I'm telling you, that is a miracle of the grace of God. But friend, hey, it is hard. Hey, it is an impossibility to know real love. Now, I believe you can have an affection for one another. But it is hard to have a real love for one another without fully understanding the love of God that He had for you and I. And I'm going to show you why that's true here in just a minute. Now, notice this. He used the word in verse 7, brethren. Brethren. That is a very endearing word. Brethren. This word, brethren, has stronger ties than fleshly brethren. You realize that fleshly brethren someday will separate. And I hate to say this, but some that are brothers will go to heaven and some of their brothers will wind up in hell without God. But I'm telling you, the kind of brethren that he's speaking about here, that we are commanded in the Bible to love, there will never be any separation. It is a stronger tie, a stronger bind than a fleshly, because it is a spiritual brotherhood that shall never have any separation. Now, It's a very endearing word. We're brethren. Amen. We'll love one another as brethren. Now notice this. They're brethren because they had all been born again of the same Spirit.
Amen.
May I say to you, there's only one way to salvation.
Amen.
There's not a half dozen ways to be saved.
Amen.
And there is not a plurality of spirits that convicts and converts sinners.
Amen.
The same Holy Ghost that convicted and converted you has convicted and converted every sinner that's been saved by grace in this room tonight.
Amen.
We all came through the same birth canal.
Amen.
I remember years ago, Miss Hall and I was at Value City up in Clarksville, Indiana, and she was shopping and I was grumbling. And we walked in the door and there's a black gentleman standing there, and I scratched my head. I looked at that man. I said, "Man, you look like somebody I know." He said, "Well, who do I look like?" I said, "You look like George Foreman." He said, "You're close." I said, "Well, who are you then?" He said, "I'm Muhammad Ali's brother." I said, "No." He said, "Well, I put it this way, we both got the same mama." Now, he didn't say nothing about the same daddy, but he did say they had the same mama. But they were brothers. They come through the same, what I'm getting at, they came through the same birth canal. And all that have been born again by the Spirit of God have passed through that same birth canal of the Holy Ghost. And by the Word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. If you are my brother tonight, this King James Bible and the Holy Ghost is what has birthed you into the family of God. Amen. Through the same birth canal. I don't know if you can get saved with an NIV. It's polluted. I don't know if you can get saved on an RSV. It's polluted. And yet we've got Bible scholars today that quote and champion some of these fellows that profusely use other translations of the Bible. You're not going to get in. Hey, Muslims are not my brethren. Buddy, I didn't get in through the Quran. No, I got in the blood sprinkled way by the Holy Ghost of God and this book through the preaching and the power of Almighty God. Amen. Now, I'm going to say secondly, they all had one and the same Father, even the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that this brotherhood of ours is so close that even Jesus is our brother? He is our big brother. I'm glad I've got him as a big brother. We're related to him. And we are related to him by new birth. Oh, now he didn't have to have a new birth to be saved. But he's the first fruits. You and I in our order. But thanks be unto God that He and I, you and I alike, have the same Father.
Amen.
He said, "I go," when in John 17, "I go to my Father and to your Father."
Yeah.
One and the same.
Yeah.
Can you get a hold of that tonight? If you can, it ought to make you shout. To know that the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, He that overshadowed Him and brought Him into the world through the womb of a virgin, is the same Father that you and I have tonight. Thank God. And if you're not of that Father, I'm going to tell you who your Father is. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of himself. For he is a liar, and the father of it. Now, God bless God. I'm glad. God is my Father.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I've got to hurry or we won't get done. Now, they all had been delivered by the same Redeemer. We've got one Redeemer.
Amen.
Some of them in Corinthians were saying, I'm of Apollos. And I'm Paul and I'm Cephas. Some of them said, I'm of Jesus.
Amen.
I've got news for you. If you're saved, we're all of Jesus.
Amen.
No man can save man.
Amen.
Thank God we have been delivered to Him.
Amen.
Translated into the kingdom of God by His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I was bound in sin and headed for hell. But thank God Jesus came along and turned me around. Amen to God. Set my feet on a solid rock. Hallelujah. So we've all got the same Redeemer. Now notice carefully. They were all bound in the same bundle of life. That's over in 1 Samuel. That is what Abigail said about David. For my Lord is bound in a bundle of life with my Lord. Now, folks, if you can get a hold of that,
amen,
we're hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
We're all in the same little family.
Amen.
We're all in the same little bundle.
Right.
We've all been united together by the Spirit.
Amen.
And we're all in that little bundle that's called life.
Amen.
And I'm going to be honest with you. Few there be that find that way. For straight is that gate and narrow is that way. There's not many men that enter therein. Hey, some folks I'm going to ask not long from now. I'm going to ask them this question. When God brought you up out of a horrible pit, set your feet on a solid rock, and put a song in your mouth, what kind of a song was it?
Amen.
What kind of a song did God put in your mouth? Hip hop, flip flop, jerk hop, rock? And God put amazing grace in my lips.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
And how firm a foundation in my soul.
Yes.
Amen.
That's exactly right. God
Amen.
Didn't put different songs in different mouths.
Amen.
There's one music for the people of God. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen. I see that didn't go very big.
Amen.
Now, they were all united together by the same sacred blood, the same sacred tie of the blood, even the blood of the Lamb of God. That's right. It's all by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes. Thank God for the blood. Some of this crowd out here saying, well, I got in by being baptized. They are not my brother. Now, you claim if you want to, but I'm not going to. Some of them said, well, I'm your brother and I've got the Book of Mormon. They are not my brother.
Amen.
Come on in the house, boys and girls.
Amen.
This is reality night. He said, love your brother. Even as I have loved you, you also love your brother.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, to do that, you've got to determine and distinguish who your brothers are. I'm not compelled by this book to love some infidel.
Right,
right.
Not as a brother, as a sinner,
right.
But not as a brother. Now stay right with me. I want to get to point one, the source of this love. It won't take but a few minutes, I promise you. The source of this love has got to be God.
Amen.
For the Bible said in 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Amen.
And this love that we have, its source comes from Him. I'm going to tell you, that's why I said earlier that no man can love apart from Him, for God is love.
Amen.
Affection, yes, but not love.
Amen.
Now listen carefully what this verse of Scripture says. It's also by the Holy Spirit, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost,
Amen,
which is given unto us.
Amen.
Somebody said, who all's got this love of God? Every born-again child of God.
Amen.
Because it was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which was given to you. I'm telling you, if you're saved tonight, you have got the love of God dwelling in your bosom. It's an impossibility to be saved and be without it.
Amen.
Got to have it. Now, I'll tell you, just hang on, because I'm fixing the skin here in just a little while. So you better enjoy this.
Amen.
And so the source of that love is God. God is love.
Amen.
The source of that love is the Holy Ghost. His love is shed abroad in our hearts. And I'm going to tell you another source is the Christian.
Amen.
The only love this world will ever know, friend, is the love that we show him. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's just about got to the point that the only love and affection a Christian will ever see is the love and affection they get from a fellow brother or sister in Christ, because that world out there ain't going to love you much. I'll tell you what they will do. They'll use you and play you for everything they can get out of you and then drop you like a hot potato. But that world out there don't love you. The world is at enmity with God. And if the world is enmity with God, it can't love you. It's at enmity with you also.
Amen.
So why do you want to put your arms around it and love it?
Amen.
Somebody said, you ought to preach on love. I think I will. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Amen.
Pretty plain, ain't it? Amen. You got worldly love in you, the love of the Father is not in him. How did I just say the love of the Father got in him? It shed it all.
Amen.
By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm hurrying. Really am. The savor of that love. I didn't say the Savior. Savor. S-A-V-O-R. The savor of that love. Now I looked that word savor up. And it means the quality which renders a thing valuable. It, in the Scriptures, it denotes that which renders a thing acceptable to God. May I ask you, hey, what has made us acceptable to God? I'll go back to this other verse in a minute. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And so I'm telling you that the savor of that love is Christ. Just like salt is the savor to a pot of beans. Or just like a big piece of pork add savor to a pot of beans.
Yes.
Christ adds savor to our love. And without Christ, we have no ability to love.
Yes.
Amen. Paul said in Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among you, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. His love for us and in us is what has made us acceptable to God. May I say to you that every sinner is repudiated in the eyes of God. Oh, we got a generation that don't want to believe that. They want to think they're not too bad. But I'm going to tell you, sinners are wicked as the devil himself.
Amen.
You're filthy.
Amen.
In the eyes of God. And all your righteousness is but filthy rags in the eyes of God.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And I'm going to tell you where you're living. I can prove it in the Bible. You're living in a dunghill. He said, out of the dunghill I lifted you out. He said, I'm a worm and no man. And that's what sinners are, just worms. Gentile dogs, nothings, nobody. We were afar off. We stood afar off from the oracles of God and the covenant of grace. Amen. But God set aside His own people and grafted us in. A wild olive branch grafted in. And He said, you better not be heady or high-minded for He. If He set aside the natural branches, He can set you aside too, friend.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you, we got some of the headiest, high-mindedest Baptist preachers in the world I've ever seen in my life. Had a preacher to call me today and said, what in the world did you do down at Brother Allen's camp meeting? I said, what do you mean? I said, I'm innocent. He said, well, it wasn't you directly. You were just agging it on. I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, they tell me that old Brother Ronnie Sutton got up down there and really plowed the tater patch. I said, that he indeed did. He said, a preacher called me and said, his name has been mentioned 2,000 times on you-know-who's webpage. He must be mad. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, the truth bites, ladies and gentlemen. The truth hurts, ladies and gentlemen. But the truth will also make you free. Hallelujah to God. You imagine 2,000 times. And I'm a real Christian. But I'm going to let people get on here and cause division amongst the brethren that I love so much. Because I'm a real man of God and they're nobodies. He might think he's a real man of God. I've got another name for him. I won't use it. Now, the success of that love. I'm doing fine. Some of y'all is uptight. But I'm fine. The success of that love. How can we have success in loving one another? I've got down here three little old ways. Number one, by loving Him.
Amen.
He said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandment. Amen. John said, an old commandment I give to you and a new commandment I give you. And if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
If you love me.
Yes.
Now I'm telling you, the success to our loving one another is loving Christ. You cannot love Christ and hate your brethren. I found out a long time ago, the more I love Him, amen, the more I give myself to Him, the more He helps me give myself to others, and the more He helps me to love others. Now, you may disagree with that. I've been called everything in the book, mean and hateful, and most folks around Madisonville, they hate me. They don't want nothing to do with me. And you've done, men, some of you have been here so long now, you're marked. You might as well enjoy it. To them, you've got 666 tattooed in your forehead. I don't know how many of our people I could point out to tonight have been out the yard sales and meet folks that was halfway dressed around and said, well, where do you go to church? And they'd say, oh, we go over to Island Ford Baptist. And said, Brother Hall's our pastor. Well, yeah, I'm the pastor. And I'm not a dictator and I'm not a legalist. But I am going to preach a holy life. And I'm going to tell you you're not right with God if you're not living a holy life.
Amen.
And I am going to preach on separation. I'm going to tell you you're not living right unless you're separated.
Amen.
That includes your hair being right, your clothes being right, your makeup, makeup being right.
Amen.
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 And I'm going to preach you ought to be faithful to church. Amen. Now, so our success is in loving Him. Our success to that is laboring together. You know, He said in 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. You know, it's kind of difficult for folks laboring together in the same church. It'd be kind of hard to have a marathon if Brother Doug, Brother Steve, myself, Miss Ruth, and anybody else showed up, went in that little old radio room tomorrow morning, sat down in there and looked over one another and said, I wish to God you'd drop dead. Boy, couldn't we pray and get a hold of God? We're laborers together.
Amen.
And you cannot labor together without love in those labors.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Praise God, I count it an honor. We're God's husbandry. We're God's building. And we're laborers together with Him. And as we labor together, we got to love one another. And laboring together in love is a success story to loving the brethren. And I like this one. I'll tell you another way, road to success, is lowliness of mind. Boy, He said, be not heady and high-minded. That Bible said in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I want to ask you something. You all as Bible students now, you've read the Bible over 75 times apiece, I'm sure. If we had a problem in this church that needed settled, who in this church, not by name, but who in this church would we set to judge over that matter? That, they use that, but that's not what it's referring to, Brother John. I'm going to tell you what Paul said. Let those that are the least esteemed in the church be the judge. Let those that don't seem to have much on the ball be the judge. Boy, that ain't our way in Baptist churches.
Right.
Old Deacon so-and-so and old long-tongued Sister so-and-so, buddy, they're going to be the judge. And I'm going to tell you, and the pastor's going to be the judge, but I'm going to tell you, he said if two brothers have a problem with one another, set the least esteemed in the church over the matter and let them make judgment. Now, you might get in a fight if everybody's heart's right with God. Because we're to esteem our brother more highly than ourselves. So if that's true, we'd all of us in here say, no, let him do it. No, I esteem him higher than me, let him do it. Well, bless God, I said, I'm going to do it. Now, we don't carry it that far. You understand what I'm saying? I'll guarantee you, headiness and high-mindedness will cause divisions and strife amongst the brothers.
Amen.
Amen, Jesse Bob. Old J.B. Now, I want to mention the seal of our love. I want everybody to get the seal. What seals our love for one another? The seal of our love is sealed by our duties.
Amen.
These are very simple, but listen to them. There's eight of them, and I've got to go through them quickly. We must have a genuine regard to each other's interests and comforts. Do we really? Now here's why I said I was going to do a little skinning. Do we really take interest enough in one another to try to be a comfort to one another, to try to aid one another in times of trouble? Do we look out for the interests of somebody else? In other words, friend, do we look over somebody else's shoulder to help them, or are we too busy looking over our own? Now, I'm just telling you a fact. We better give a real regard to each other's interests and comforts. In other words, we better lay ourselves out, and I'm going to prove it to you in a minute, for one another. We're selfish. God's people today are selfish people. I want it my way or no way. We're selfish people. Somebody said, well, it's all 50-50. No, it's not. It's 100-100. Marriage, church, and all.
Amen.
Now, we must sympathize with their sorrows and rejoice with their blessings.
Amen.
When was the last time somebody in here went to somebody that was really having a problem and laid their head on their shoulder and wept with them?
Right.
Amen.
You know what most Baptists say today when somebody gets sick? Well, God's judging their sin. If that's true, there's a whole bunch of heap of sinning Baptists today.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what God does do. God does chasten.
Amen.
And we better count it a joy to be chastised.
Amen.
Because if we're without it, you know what we are. A bad
right.
word.
Right.
Amen.
That's right. So learn to sympathize with people. I told them down there at the camp when I was preaching the other day, I said, I wonder how many people in here, Miss Donna Kearns, had to be taken to the hospital with a blood pressure of 190 over 140. And I said, I wonder how many in this camp meeting went to her daddy that moderates most of that camp meeting and said, I'm praying for you. I know this is a load on you as well as it is her husband. I'm praying for you. Brother Randy Sutherland's little girl fell off a swing and broke her collarbone. I wonder how many people went to him. Said, Brother Randy, I'm praying for you. I'm sympathizing with you. I wonder what you would do tonight if one of our members come in here Sunday and said, praise God, I have no earthly idea where it come from, but I got a cashier's check in the mail today for $500,000. You'd say, bless God, it could have been me. We ought to jump up and down and shout with. And you know what I heard on our news today? I couldn't believe it. A guy filled out his state taxes and was supposed to get $15 back. They sent him a check for $2
million. Hallelujah.
He gave it away.
Yeah.
He gave it back. You're talking about honesty.
Amen.
That's honesty. Oh, they said they'd have called it anyway, but they wouldn't have called it. If they would have Most people, it wouldn't have done no good to call it because they'd have been long gone buddy, by the time they called it. People today rip through money like they rip through water. They think it grows on trees. I don't believe in being so tight, bless God, we squeak when we walk. And I'm going to tell you, they don't need throwing money away either. But I'm going to tell you, that's character. This man, they didn't say he was a Christian, Jake. They didn't say nothing about him going to church. But it's hard for me to believe that a man that's lost and out in the world get a check for $2 million and turn in. You know what he said? He said, it was tempting. My niece rented this house and was going to have a yard sale. And a guy on it said, you can take anything out of that shed over there you want. Just take it out and sell it. She found a briefcase lock, one of them combination locks. She said, well, I can't even get anything. She put $5 on it and set it out in the yard sale. This woman come by, said, her little boy said, Mommy, I want that for my Hot Wheels. She said, you don't need that thing. $5, that's too much. He said, I want it, Mommy, I want it. Well, the woman went to my niece and said, is the $5 the least you'll take for that? She said, I can't get it open. I'll take $2 for it. So about 30 minutes later, here come the law rolling in. That briefcase had $5,000 and several bags of cocaine in it. Won't know where she got it. She said, in that building out there. Do you know what my brother said? My brother said if she'd have got that thing open, buddy, they wouldn't have got that $5 million or that cocaine. She's not quite as tender-hearted as a $2 million man. But could you rejoice with somebody that come into a... Could you rejoice at somebody that God's blessed? Could somebody come in their family in a prayer meeting at the house, the whole family got saved, all the children. Could you rejoice with them? Would you drop your head and say, well, that could have been mine. That's just the way things go, though. And I'd shout, bless God, I'd run my head through the wall in a dozen places. It's been so long since I've genuinely seen somebody get born again, I'm liable to run to McDonald's and back. Now I got to hurry. We must delight in one another's company. I enjoy being around you.
Amen.
We are to live in peace and harmony, not fight and squabble all the time.
Amen.
I'm talking about the seal of this love is found in our duties. We are to bear and forbear with one another's weaknesses. Somebody said, oh, Brother So-and-so over ain't quite as separated as ought to be. Maybe he ain't been saved as long as you have. But we are to bear and forbear with one another in their weaknesses. Not much of that today. We are also to bear one another's burdens. And Paul said, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, we're to unite together in prayer and worship. We're to seek ways to build up one another in faith and holiness. Then I want to say we're sealed in doctrine. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? I cannot sit down with a Catholic.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a fine line. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Them folks in Georgia the other day, all of them got together and prayed for rain. And I'm looking at that two ways. People's hurting. Maybe somebody can get through. But at the same time, I can't sit down and take communion with a Catholic, or I can't take communion with a Mormon, or I can't take communion with a Jehovah's Witness. I can't take communion with a Presbyterian, a Methodist, or a Pentecostal.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said you're pretty tight. Yep.
Amen.
I believe the church is spelled B-A-P-T-I-S-T.
Amen.
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 I was amazed. I sat in the prayer room. I'm not going to tell you who. Yeah, I am too. He was here and preached a few weeks ago. He was sitting in there and everybody was in the prayer room down there. And he said, well, fellas, I want to tell you something. He said, I got this book, been reading this book. And said, this guy's got an outline on there that runs the genealogies. And I thought, uh-oh, here we go. Endless genealogies that stir up strife. What the Bible says. And he said, he traced the Baptist church all the way back to John. And I thought to myself, he went to a Bible college that I know believes that way. So why is he just now figuring that out?
Amen.
One old man spoke up and said they didn't call him John the Methodist.
Amen.
His name was John. He was a Baptist for the work that he did. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist.
Amen.
I'd be ashamed if I wasn't one. Now, we're sealed in doctrine, but boy, here's a getter. We're sealed by death.
Amen.
Now, if you can get a hold of this, you can just get a hold of the thought. Hereby, John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us,
amen,
and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Amen.
And remember a while ago He said, even as I've loved you, that's how I want you to love your brethren. And here He says, I laid my life down for you, and you ought to lay your life down. I wonder if there's anybody here willing to do that.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about going out here and jumping in front of a train.
Amen.
I'm talking about stretching ourselves out.
Amen.
Doing for others.
Amen.
Getting over selfishness.
Yes, sir.
Being kind and generous.
Amen.
When it comes down, hey, when it comes down, if you had to make a choice between you having Christmas and somebody else, who would you choose?
Amen.
I hope everybody in here can have both. But if it comes down to it, who would you choose?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Lay down your lives for your brethren. There is no greater joy than the joy of giving and helping somebody else. And it don't have to be anything incredible, expensive, big, or fancy.
Amen.
I've got two or three little old things over at my house. I've got a book over there that Lisa got me called Christian Joy. It's a little old book about that big, the first year we was called out to preach. From Lisa on Christmas Day of 1981. I wouldn't take $10 trillion for it.
Amen.
I've got a... You know what Tammy got me that year for Christmas? A rhinoceros carved out of wood. It'd take at least $10 trillion to get that.
Amen.
I've got a tape over there that Benny gave me when I was in the hospital his mother made. They all sang hymn, Brendan, two girls sang songs. She said, Benny, lead us in prayer. Benny said, Lord, I'm glad tonight Mommy and the girls saying, and please help my daddy get well. Amen.
Amen.
I wouldn't take nothing for that.
Amen.
It doesn't. I'm telling you, it's not the big things in life that
right.
makes a difference.
Amen.
It's the little things.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Big things are taken for granted. Little things are loved and respected.
Amen.
Now I close with this. The secret of our love. What is the secret of it? Here it is. Here I am up here preaching tonight on brotherly love. But listen what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. We shouldn't have to teach people
Amen.
That we're to love one another. He says God teaches us that.
Amen.
That's the secret to it.
Amen.
God's really the only one that can teach it because He's the only one that is it.
Amen.
He is love, so He can talk. He could have wrote 1 million books just on love. Because He is love. He's a wonderful teacher.
Amen.
Now, can I say this to you? You're not going to get there overnight.
Amen.
I've been saved for a long time. I've been preaching since 1980. Been pastoring and preaching since 1981. That's soon be 27 years. And I am just now starting to be able to love my enemies. And that's not an easy thing to do. Oh, I wished I'd have known 20 years ago when I came here what I know now.
Amen.
I have learned to take things and zip my mouth.
Amen.
That I wasn't able to do years ago.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you're looking at a man that had a red hot temper, buddy.
Amen.
Big time temper. But the Lord's working on it.
Amen.
He's working on it. Love of the brother.
Amen.
Anybody in here tonight got anything in ought in your heart against somebody? Or maybe there's just somebody that you just don't quite love. To the same degree you love somebody else. Don't be a respecter of persons.
Amen.
Let's stand together.